Welcome to a very special program on WERU 89.9 FM Blue Hill, that's community radio, with Noel Paul Stuckey and A.S. Aubrey, the pen name of Noel's daughter Anna. They will be performing at the Camden Opera House on Saturday, August 1st at 7:30 p.m. And the name of their show is Listening for the Notes, the Gift of Word and Song in Challenging Times. My name is Matt Murphy, and I'll be your host. Thank you for listening.
My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentations. I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails the new creation. Above the tumult and the strife, I hear its music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? When tyrants tremble sick with fear and hear that death knell ringing, when friends rejoice both far and near, how can I keep from singing? In prison cell and dungeon vile, our thoughts to them go winging. When friends by shame or undefiled,
note, just what is. Life's note arising, wiggly weaned, a foal on wobbly legs. Listen to the heart transpires sounds escape to breathing things in melody. An opening. Music breaks through. How did we teach ourselves to sing? Ringing from the inside, bright with lightning's pulse or waking words. This one note, an utterance, guttural and grasping, surging up from feeling, flying out to meet mute air, to sense receipt, complete in being heard.
I'm snapping my fingers because that's what we used to do in the village.
Well, Noel and Anna, welcome to WERU. Can you tell us what we just heard from both of you and then how this program and this theme of listening for the notes got started?
Well, it got started on wobbly legs. I love that line. That's my favorite part of the note poem. Yeah, Anna has a book coming out, which we may have mentioned earlier, but it's called Hide and Seek, a book of poetry. And I think that's what prompted me to look at the relationship between some of the songs that I've written and the concept of poetry, much less Anna's particular production. The curious thing about songwriting, though, is that you would think that it would just be poetry set to music. Well, it doesn't really happen that way. Many times there's a unique experience that drives it. Sometimes, yeah, it is, and Anna can speak to that more. It is just sitting with yourself and listening and writing that which is in your soul, on your mind at that time. But like I said, songs come from different perspectives. And I suppose the one song that's really different for me, and ironically, the one that I'm probably best known for, is The Wedding Song, which was a song invoked by prayer, because the prayer wasn't, give me a song for Peter's wedding. It was, in fact, how would you, capital Y, manifest yourself at Peter's wedding? And the answer just came so quickly. I am now to be among you at the calling of your hearts. Rest assured, this troubadour acting on my da-da-da-da-da. And I couldn't write. I mean, I wrote as quickly as I could. The melody was close behind. And it's kind of interesting that that is a perspective that I've not utilized before, but sort of had depended on whenever I do, say, a song with spiritual overtones, like the 23rd Psalm, which I've set to music in a couple of different settings. You know, that's listening to a familiarity with a classical format. It's listening to a familiarity with a classical format, but it's also kind of invoking a new appreciation of a spiritual leading. Tell me, Anna, you know, we haven't had this conversation before, but to what extent do you think that your leading is spiritual?
Well, yeah, right. How do we define spiritual? Right. I mean, I think one of the things that I found fascinating about the theme of listening when we thought about putting this together is this idea that maybe there's something we all can be listening to, and that if we were really attuned to it, sort of like birds in the sky following flight patterns, there would be a kind of harmony in the world, but we forget how to do that. And there's so much coming in that's distracting us from that sort of purpose. And so, you know, what I appreciate, Dad, about what you're saying about writing the wedding song, and when I think about just creativity in general, I think it is a practice of listening, whether we are asking a question or if we're just sitting in the stillness. I mean, a lot of great creatives talk about, God, I just sat there with a blank page and I didn't know what was going to happen next. And there's a kind of humility in that that I think we sometimes forget in this world of just, all right, I'm going to just sit and not know, and I'm going to hear. Mm-hmm. And could we call that practice spiritual? Sure. But it's also kind of essential for learning how to live with each other. And so I think this is a really important time to think about the power of listening. And if being creative people teaches us how to do that, I mean, Dad, I'm so inspired by your writing of the wedding song and by your process of listening. If being creative people teaches us how to listen because we're willing to be open to a question and sit in not knowing and receive something, great. And also, how do we bring that to life? Because there's so much on our hearts right now. There are so many things blocking the capacity to listen, you know?
Shall we listen to the wedding song right now?
Absolutely. And then, Anna, why don't you follow with Gathering?
Both of which I think speak to this idea that there's something there with us, whether we realize it or not, and the listening lets it find us. Gathering. You will find me in the pages of your notebook. I once glanced you, gathering thoughts like flowers, wanting the meadow that held them, wanting to know I was there.
Lovely. Anna, can you talk about what went into creating that poem? We heard from Noel about some of what went into the wedding song and the process. What, how does that work for you for gathering?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I like this poem sort of next to the wedding song is it just sort of speaks to the idea that creativity thoughts, the pages in your notebook is a kind of gathering and a kind of listening. And at first you don't realize in this poem who's speaking, but I think the I was there could be the presence that binds us all. It could be God. So there are some real similarities there, that we sit, we gather, and something may be watching out for us even when we don't realize it.
And all of this is informed by the listening you spoke of.
Yeah. Well, I just really want to speak to what Dad was saying before. I think one of the themes that we found in exploring listening is the power that listening has to make us see the similarities between us instead of the differences, and how important that is right now. So Dad can speak to that, as a folk musician, because as you said earlier, listening to folk, becoming a folk musician is about listening to people and their concerns. I have, in my alternate life, I'm a psychotherapist by day, so I do a lot of listening, Matt. And what I have come to feel is that my clients teach me about how similar pain is, our needs, what we want out of life. And when we see that, it's a really powerful, it builds compassion. It's a really powerful seed for seeing how we're all in this together. And so I think folk music reminds us of that. And this particular poem, just as sort of about the fact that we're all sharing very similar longings that are often able to come out of listening to each other. Just as, why should some things be loved more than others? Because they are easier for us, kinder seeming, more what we wanted them to be. All of life wants to be loved just as it is, just as we do, just as we are.
Every flower's reaching for the sun. Every petal opens when the day has just begun. Even in the city where they grow up through the street, every blossom needs some sunshine to make its life complete. Torn out by the roots and cast aside, some might be arranged for a bride. Flower is just a seed when it's young, and every flower's reaching for the sun. Some are bent by fears they cannot see, and some are touched by love and set free. The flower is just a seed when it's young, and every flower's reaching, oh, every flower's reaching. Every flower's reaching for the sun.
You are listening to WERU Community Radio and a conversation with Noel Paul Stuckey and poet A.S. Aubrey, Noel's daughter Anna, their upcoming performance of Listening for the Notes, The Gift of Word and Song in Challenging Times, will take place at the Camden Opera House on Saturday, August 1st at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and information are available at camdenoperahouse.com.
You've talked about listening and the importance of that for creativity, but also for connection between people, and so that we recognize the similarities, not just the differences, and we get that through listening. How do we then turn that listening into action?
I think Anna kind of touched on the metaphor for listening, because that allows us to be kind to one another. And it is in that kindness, in our vulnerability, that we recognize that life is a gift, that it's that to be cherished, to be shared, to be unfolded, unwrapped, enjoyed. And that certainly was a huge part of the coming up with the chorus of the song that I wrote called In These Times, where I refer to the gift that we've been given and our awareness of it and our need to defend it in a sense.
I actually love what you just said. And I feel like I want to riff on that for a minute because when love is really present, you want to take care of each other. And part of taking care of each other may be moving into an action from the heart. And I so appreciate that, Dad, about your career and how your creativity and your songs, really so many of your songs are about love and feeling that on your heart. And feeling how it can connect us, can move us into action. So I really appreciate that. And another thing that occurred to me in the listening process, and that this poem that I wrote that speaks to that, reflects, is sometimes the artist also has to be the truth teller, and that is a form of activism, sort of being willing to name what's here that nobody else wants to name or see what's here. And that can be a kind of action. It's not quite as active, but I think it's a role that the arts have played forever and ever and ever. They've sort of been at the forefront of new ways of thinking and seeing. And so this poem, Still Life, sort of speaks to that and echoes some of the themes in Dad's In These Times, but in a different way. So I like the way they play off of each other. Still life. This morning, I wanted there to be eyes watching out for us. Something, somewhere, caring that we died, our buried bodies begging to be born. This still life, not a perfect portrait, but a hope held close through seeing clearly, every detail sketched and owned. Black days bake the hardened shell upon us, lacking air's light mist, wishing ourselves invisible. But could you see, revive us? Could we revive ourselves? By refusing not to see it all, our flecked brush moving as we render its fragile form.
There's a warning in the wind that comes wailing through the trees, a depression in the shoreline left by the seas. There is a lesson in the drought that brings a country to its knees in these times. We are we'd live beyond our needs and pretend our hungry souls are not related to our greed. Life's a journey, but it's not about the speed in these days. Flowers in the sand, reaching out a helping hand in these times. As the perfect storm approaches and the gale around us roars, no longer can we close our eyes and hide behind our doors. Our choice is fewer now by what we've chosen to ignore in these times. The ship of state is drifting and it's getting hard to steer. It's a complicated issue, but the direction's pretty clear. And each of us is who we need to get to there from here in these times.
So, Noel, before Anna recited Still Life and before we played In These Times, Anna referred to the artist as truth teller. And certainly that song gets right at that. And in fact, you are one of the truth teller portraits of Robert Shetterly's Americans Who Tell the Truth, right?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that parallel. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I was very, very flattered that to join that group of people that he's painted.
What's the reaction that you get from people when you play that song on stage? How does that touch people?
Curiously, there's very, there's not a lot that an artist standing on stage can sense from an audience in terms of subtlety. You know, it's you play the song, you get the applause. The applause may be lengthened or it may be, but certain songs, either have a length of applause or an intensity of applause. Certainly the song In These Times, which I've now moved from a closer to an opener in my concerts, because it addresses the circumstances in which we're living, the contemporary struggles that many people are having because of reduced budgets, the philosophical and psychological challenges that they're facing by virtue of being told that some of their neighbors are less worthy than they are, insisting on, a kind of an order very reminiscent of what, led to the Jewish Holocaust. I mean, it's, the demeaning becomes a position of power. It's a pretty ugly world if you allow yourself to get drawn into it completely. And so what are our choices? Certainly we could maintain an awareness of the gift of life, but what can we do actively? And honestly, in the Hannaford grocery store, I have found the answer. I just smile. I you encounter somebody with a cart full of groceries, they're about to run in, don't scowl, don't even say excuse me, just say hello. And so I wrote this song called Revolution that says, I'm going to start a revolution. I'm going to take it to the street. I'm going to smile at every solitary person that I meet. I'm going to wave at total strangers, no matter where they're from. I'm going to start a revolution. I'm going to win it one by one.
I'm going to start a revolution. I'm going to take it to the street. I'm going to smile at every solitary person that I meet. That's all you have to do. You don't need no other weapon than that smile upon your face. Just say hello, let them know. We're all part of the human race. And if you should encounter, as I'm sure you will, some disbelieving cynic who is disbelieving still, we're gonna open his window. Sweep out every corner. We're gonna mop up every floor till he goes a dancing in the jaw of the dragon, sleeping in the lion's den, screaming out to angels. Yeah, and he falls in love again.
Says you don't get to have it all. Who says life's gifts aren't already falling on you, drops of rain on your bare ground? The flickering light of a candle, the way a branch moves gently in wind, the chorus of birds outside your window every morning. Even the uglinesses calling you to see the miracle arrived. Your brave heart beginning again each opened day. Who says what it means to have it all? When nothing else exists but here and now and everything, yourself included.
So tell me why you selected Revolution and It All to be shared together.
The flickering light of a candle, the way a branch moves gently in the wind, the chorus. These things are humanly shareable, just as a smile is.
Yeah, and I think for me, there's something about in these times that feel overwhelming and where we may not know what to do, or in any challenging times, really, there's something simple that still exists between us, that if we can just appreciate it and turn toward that, we're living in a kind of sweet connection, even when things are hard. And so I think when I wrote It All, you know, as I mentioned, a lot of the poems that I wrote for this book came out of the pandemic and out of COVID. I think I was really searching for what is here to be celebrated right now, even when things are scary or hard or we don't know what's happening. And I think Revolution sort of speaks to, we can do something about that right now. Let's just start smiling at each other. And I think It All, in a way, is similarly saying, can we just realize what is here right now? And that when we acknowledge our connection to each other, there's a kind of possibility that comes out of that. Like, we're okay. And maybe we have to realize we're okay in order to deal with what doesn't feel okay.
Listening for the notes, An Evening of Poetry and Song, which will again be performed on Saturday, August 1st at the Camden Opera House at 7:30 p.m. in Camden. How did you decide to put this show together?
I honestly don't think that we would be doing the Camden show if we hadn't had such a success doing the Ventura, California show. That's where it came up at. Betty and I go west for 3 or 4 months out of a year, ostensibly, certainly in the beginning, to visit Anna, who has lived on the West Coast for how long now?
Since 1996. Quite a while.
So, you know, in daily conversations and awareness of what each other are doing, there was the proximity alone encouraged us to do this mutuality outreach. And so, to organize this during the Stuckey family get together, where we all sit underneath a big old white ring that says Stuckey Blue Hill against a shingled wall and take an annual picture of the family all together. It just seems right to share that family moment and those insights that came from California with an audience from Maine.
Yeah, we got to do the show in California when Mom and Dad were out here. My poetry chapbook is getting released in the fall of this year, and so I wanted to have an event that would sort of be a pre-launch, but also a chance to really collaborate with Dad creatively. And that event got created there. And it was really a fun, the Ventura County reporter described it really well, I think, as like sitting in our living room, hearing us trade poems and songs and stories, which is really kind of what we hope this will also be, is just a chance to reflect on the intersection between songs and poems that we feel so deeply in our hearts, but also as a reflection of the importance of the listening process in our creativity and in life right now. But you'll also get some humorous moments, and you know, Puff the Magic Dragon is going to have to get in there too. So some of the classics will be there too. So I hope it'll be a rich and sweet evening for everyone. Listening started to be something I thought about a lot during the pandemic and during COVID, when we were all in a lot of quiet and silence and wondering what was going to happen next. And this book of poetry emerged out of that stillness when many of us were at home wondering what was going on and how we were going to get through it. And I started to think about listening and creativity. Where does creativity even come from as an answer to some of our deepest questions? Where does it start? What is the imagination? And I think I've grown up my whole life with a father who has been doing that listening and creating music, and it's been fascinating to me. And so when I started to come upon my own creativity, I started thinking to myself, what is this process through which things come through, whether it's music or words? And then I started to think, this is a really important skill for us to have in these times that are overwhelming. And how do we remember how to listen and how to attune ourselves to what's really important so that we can live meaningful lives even when we're challenged? So that was sort of the genesis, both of my poetry book and then of thinking about having this conversation with Dad, which I've sort of always wanted to have and had on and off over the years, just about where it's coming from. I think that was the genesis.
In parallel to Anna's evolution of thought, you can't be a folk musician without listening to the folk. and when there are concerns, and there are a lot of them contemporarily, you tend to want to be able to express mutual alliance with those concerns, and in some instances, introduce them, to folks that perhaps have not heard them before. I've been doing this for like 70 years almost. Isn't that amazing? Starting in Greenwich Village with Peter and Mary, and learning from greats like Dave Van Ronk and Woody, of course, and Pete Seeger, and the idea that folk music tends to confirm what we're listening to, and gives us a pause to consider what we can do about what we're hearing. So the idea of, well, and of course, talking about Greenwich Village, we are talking about the combination of poetry and folk music that existed then in the early 60s, where in basements all over the west side of New York City, people would congregate, hear poetry read, snap with their fingers instead of applause, and then wonder how they could take that feeling of community into their own personal lives. And quite honestly, Matt, you and I spoke about social media a little bit before, and to the extent that typing on a keyboard is a poor form of communication between people, I mean, it's a substitute for real interaction. So I think folk music has a chance to, or takes the opportunity to, slow people down from their busy lives so that they really get a sense of community. And I find that being able to sing some of my songs, which are, largely metaphor, I think Anna might, dispute the fact that poetry is a form of metaphor because she speaks so eloquently through all different perspectives. But through the use of metaphor in storytelling and songwriting, I feel like we have a deeper sense of belonging. And to the extent that I'm there with my daughter, hey, it's very cool.
So online presence is so, so important in these days for marketing and connecting, et cetera. But overstimulation and social media for many can get in the way of listening and seeing each other. Would you say that's true?
Well, I didn't find a parallel with any of Anna's poems, nor did she find a parallel with this particular piece of music I'm going to suggest you play. But I wrote a song called Virtual Party that talks about social media in a very, it's a humorous context. I mean, it's the first line of it is I'm barefoot and I'm logged onto the internet. I usually pick up my email in the afternoons, but on weekends, sometimes I forget. And it moves on from there to a relationship online through social media that is laughable.
In the evening, I'm barefoot and I'm logged on to the internet. I usually pick up my email in the afternoon, but on weekends sometimes I forget. I yell down the hall to the bedroom, honey, I'll be right there. She says, that's okay, I got a brand new book and I'm not going anywhere. Funny thing about a couple when a couple of years ago. Talk, you think you know each other so well, you don't have to try. You take for granted what you used to call enchanted just a while ago. Oh, when does a mystery turn into history? I don't know. Anyway, I got another gig of data coming down the line. I got a Wall Street profile spreadsheet from a friend of mine. Up on the screen pops a little green box, says, click on me. Somewhere I swear Alice in Wonderland must be calling. I look up at the clock, it's not as late as I thought, it's only 12:45. Hey, the download's finished, I could take 5 minutes, have me some fun. Invitations from a web location in Hong Kong. It's already started, this virtual party runs all night long. Is it all my ear? Yo, you're invited to a virtual party tonight. Good tweet, glad to yo. You're invited to a virtual party. With computers in the automobile, computers in the phone. Yeah, and even my wife used to tell me to get a life that's got a computer of her own. I spend so much time saving time, I can't find any time to spend. I've taped 13 episodes of Mad Men, but what am I going to show them? It's unbelievable, must be 60, 70 people here at the party site. There's icons and avatars and images of movie stars surfing tonight. I'm looking for a chat when I get a note that says you want to go to a place more private. I kind of think you like it. I say, I don't know. She says her name is Mata Hari and that she's particularly fond of older men. Well, maybe so, maybe not. Maybe she's a guy that's got this urge to pretend. And then it occurs to me, I don't need this fantasy. After all, everything I've been looking for, I got. And even more sleeping down the end of the hall. I shut down the box till it's 3 o'clock by the time I get to bed. I lift up the cover, snuggle next to my lover, find a note there instead. Says the book was done, I logged on, found a message from Hong Kong. For this virtual party, think I might go as Mata Hari.
I think one of the elements that we really wanted to have in this show was humor. Because I think laughing and realizing that there can be humor and joy even in what feels overwhelming is so important. And I love that about virtual party, because I think in a way, Dad, you're laughing at this, this sort of gift and curse of the internet. And I love that line. What's the line that says, I'm so busy saving time? How does it go?
Yeah, I spend so much time saving time, I can't find any time to spend.
Exactly. So the poem that goes along with sort of one of the humorous portions of our program is one called Between, which is also calling us to remember joy. Between. Incline yourself toward joy. It is not unfamiliar. It remembers you. It has not forgotten the soft fibers of your heart, porous with play, the way light breaks open sunset into streaks of pink surprise. This buried world, heavy with soil, is not beyond its grasp, its knowing smile, spreading like seed when patiently attended. Joy waits for us. It lingers, living in the stillness between breaths, which seems empty, but is filled with the fire we come from, inevitably belonging. This is one of the things we try to capture in the show that was, I think, a really exciting part of the collaboration, was a poem and a song going right back to back. And sort of how do they play off of each other? And actually, how are they listening to each other? Because there's a way in which some of the themes of Dad's music and the poetry are sort of playing off of each other and listening to each other. And that's one of the interesting things about the show.
You've been listening to a conversation with Noel Paul Stuckey and poet A.S. Aubrey, the pen name of Noel's daughter, Anna. Their upcoming performance of Listening for the Notes, The Gift of Word and Song in Challenging Times, will take place at the Camden Opera House on Saturday, August 1st at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and information are available at camdenoperahouse.com. Noel and Anna, thank you so much for doing this program with WERU. It's been a real pleasure for me, and I know for our listeners.
It's wonderful to be with you again, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. And for everyone listening, what are you listening for these days? And how do you follow it?
We live in the same house on different floors. And I got my window, and you got yours. We each got a door that leads to the hall, but the rooms are so cozy. easy, and the door is so small. One flame, many candles, one sky, many stars, one sea, many rivers, one love. Do it again. One flame, many candles, one sky, many stars, one sea, many rivers, one love. So many hearts, so mostly we sit by our windows and stare. Sometimes we wonder what's happening out there. Is there something I'm missing? Something I ought to see? Something bigger than life, something bigger than me. One flame, many candles, one sky, many stars, one sea, many rivers, one love, so many hearts, one flame. Shelf, a mystery that I've written myself. I'm in the last chapter, I'm not sure what's in store, but I'm betting it ends with a knock on the door. Come on now. One flame, many candles, one sky, many stars, one sea, many rivers, one love, and so many hearts, one flame, many candles, one sky, many stars, one sea, many rivers, one love. Watch it now. And so many hearts.
This is Matt Murphy, host and producer of this radio program, which is archived at weru.org. Thank you for listening and for supporting WERU Community Radio. A voice of many voices.